So this is John Costa with Rob Watson and recording a Spotlight on Art program this week. And I'm delighted to be here again at the New Media Art Club room where we record our weekly sessions. And Rob, how are you this week? Keeping well?
I'm very well. Yeah. Yes, very well.
Feels like we've not been here for a while, actually. We've been out on the road, haven't we?
Doing different stuff. We've done some events, an event at Jubilee Square.
At the weekend, the
Adult Head Centre.
Doc Space, we did a few recordings
which
there.
Which are all available on the SourSound website.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been quite good. So it feels like we've been on the road for a couple of weeks. We're returning to the scene of the crime here to record where our first recordings are. And how many have we done there?
23 or 24.
Of each.
It's building up.
We're getting up to near the 50 mark. That's very good. So this week's special guest, is someone that we know quite well and we've done quite a few things with over the last, two, three years probably now. It's Samantha Pepperdy. How are you?
Hello, I'm good, thanks. Thank you for having me.
No, thank you for joining us. It was great. It's good to have you here. I've been meaning to talk to you for a while, actually, because I keep bumping into you in the street and we've got some projects bubbling away, haven't we? So how's things with you? Are you busy at the moment?
At the moment, I've actually had quite a few months of just not like super, super busy, which has been really nice because it's allowed me to kind of like reflect on where I'm going, what I want to do, rather than just keep like... going down a specific route, if that makes sense.
So, and how long have you been doing that? Is it a couple of years since you graduated, or do you consider it longer while you were at school or when you were younger?
Yeah, so I graduated from UE Bristol studying illustration, I think about 2021, 2022. I saw on my Snapchat stories. It came up with like my graduation was like a 3-year memory on Facebook or whatever. So it feels quite a long time, but yeah, no, I would say it's kind of like having art as my like passion and like career started way before. I would say like definitely like maybe even year 9, GCSE. Okay. It kind of started off with my...
And is that you specifically thinking, I want to do this as a job or a career?
To be fair, actually, I started to make money from art like starting year 9 and stuff, but I kind of did have that view that you can't make a living off art, da da da.
So you can make some money, but you can't make a living.
Yeah, I kind of had that view, which my parents never actually made me believe. They always really wanted me to do art, but I kind of think society maybe kind of gives you those ideas. But having my first part-time job taught me that you really need to enjoy what you do. I think that really made me believe that I will make artwork, if that makes sense. But yeah, no, just going back to like the first time that I started making money from my artwork was a really nice teacher, my maths teacher, who came into the art room and she commissioned me to do a cow painting for her kid's bedroom, which was really nice. And that was my first ever commission I did. And then my auntie is super passionate about art as well. And she's always loved to commission me every year to do some sort of art project for her, which is really
nice. So when
nice.
Someone commissions you, are you talking about you're putting it onto a piece of canvas and then they're hanging it on the wall? Or are you talking about someone who's commissioning you to do it directly onto the wall, like in their kids' bedrooms?
No, it was just onto like a canvas, just like a painting type thing.
So do you think that gave you a false sense of either being good or... that I could make a career out of it? Or do you actually see that as being something that's quite positive, which is I can make money, but actually I'm enjoying it rather than putting yourself under the pressure of doing it full time?
Yeah, definitely. I think, yeah, just the enjoyment of doing it. And then there's like a slight perk of, you know, now I've got a little bit of money, so now I can go away and buy some even more art materials.
Right. So yeah. So any money you get straight away goes back into all of your stuff.
So it's just like feeding back into the creativity, which is always like really nice.
Now your parents sound pretty cool because they've been very supportive of you since the beginning. Where does that come from? Does that come from their own interest in the arts, or do they just want you to be happy doing what you do? Because obviously that's very counter, as you said, to what the world, which is, oh, you can't be full-time as an artist. You should just enjoy it and be happy.
Yeah, no, I think my parents' main idea is just you got to enjoy what you do. Obviously not 100% of the time you can enjoy every single thing that you do, but they've always wanted us to follow like our passions and things, and always just kind of like, in the most positive way, left us to do our own thing, if that makes sense. There's never been any pressure.
Find your own journey, yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely. My dad's a farmer, so he enjoys what he does. And I think yeah, me seeing that has made me, yeah, want to choose something that I really enjoy as well. Because what's the motto? You never want to work a day in your life.
So you mentioned about your dad being a farmer. So I'm assuming that's where you got your inspiration for the cow painting that you had to do for your teacher.
Yes.
What kind of farm? Mixed animals
it's,
and stuff?
It's a dairy farm. Okay. Yeah, it's a dairy farm. Yeah, all throughout GCSE, every single painting that I did was cows.
Farm orientated.
Yeah, like every single one was a cow, which was really nice because all of our cows have names as well. So it was nice being able to tell everyone what their name was. Erskine's one of my favourite cows to paint. She's really nice, reddy ginger colour. And in my family, there's a few redheads in the family as well. So it's a nice little connection.
I love that. Everything's to do with that. That's quite cool. So, I mean, do you have a studio back on the farm, for want of a better term? Or do you have a studio here in Leicester? And how difficult do you find having a studio?
I have, I got my first studio after uni last November at Churchgate Studios with a group of talented artists. And it's really nice having like a really nice community to go to. And it's also just really nice to have a space that you can be messy in. I think that's the most important thing for me is not worrying where the paint splats are going to go. Because my paintings are very expressive. So it's nice to not feel contained, if that makes sense.
So, and do you go there for a specific period of time? Do you turn around and say, right, I'm going to spend 3 hours in the studio today, or can you not go for a couple of days and then like, I really need to go in there tomorrow because I need to kind of, you know, put stuff on the wall? Yeah. And how does it work for you as an artist?
Yeah, I'm quite, at the start I used to be like quite intense, like, right, I need to go, I need to get all my money's worth. But now I'm kind of just going in those moments of inspiration or when I need to get out the house and just have, I think having it as zero pressure, and sometimes it's just going to the studio maybe just to tidy it. I think those moments gets the best artwork out of me when it's like a relaxed environment.
Yeah, it's interesting, Rob, isn't it? Because we've had quite a few artists now on the spotlight on art, which obviously you would expect, but I'm saying as in people that are practitioners in their own right teaching others, and practitioners, like I'm thinking of Anton, we've had Cassia, we've had Sim Mystery and stuff. It's been interesting to talk to people because some people have space for their work and others is very much, I mean, Anton really felt the pressure, didn't he? You remember, Rob, when he was saying about our very first podcast we ever did about having the studio, he felt a lot of pressure that another day that he wasn't in there felt like the pressure was that he needed to now go. And then it was almost like he had to leave it.
Yeah, I suppose it put, you know, it's like anything, isn't it? You know, you can have a car and having it sat on the drive isn't, you know, you're not using it. So you feel the pressure to get in and drive around, even if you don't think you've got anywhere to go. And it, I suppose most...
Because it's costing you money, even if it's sitting there, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, getting space these days is very expensive. There's a reason that Montmartre, Paris was, you know, and places like Berlin... and Manchester even, you know, were places for artists because they were dirt cheap. And that whole kind of, you know, the economy based around the creative industries is now about fleecing people to pay extortionate amount of money for little rooms, whereas they used to be, you know, very, they were the undesirable parts of town for a reason. And the artists settled there because they... because they were cheap as chips and you could get on and do what you wanted and you didn't have to worry about the niceties of leases and Wi-Fi contracts and all the rest of it. Now it's like you're a business. You're not just an artist in a space.
Yeah. Do you feel that pressure when it comes to business, Sam? As in like, you know, I should be making money today. If I've not got a workshop, I'm not making money. I'm not being paid.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think...
Is that self-imposed by you though, or from others that look at you and then kind of judge you as, oh, have you made any money as an artist?
I think it's definitely self-imposed as well, because I find myself like a very productive person. So if I've not been productive in making money or helping like pay the bills, that sometimes has like a little bit of a knock-on effect. And also like I like to start my day. Well, it would be nice, you know, to start your day knowing that you've like made a bit of income and now that you can just like relax and be creative. Whereas if you haven't, there's kind of like that extra pressure a little bit. But the great thing about Churchgate Studios is that it is affordable for artists. It's a really good space, but yeah, they have definitely made a priority to make sure it's affordable.
Yeah, that kind of feeds into what Rob was saying there, I think, about Berlin as well. You go in there, I remember going in there and seeing Anton's space. It was all kind of bright and airy, and it was kind of like, you know, people getting on with what they were doing. You weren't allowed to play music because you had to disturb other people. So it was about people being creative. Is that what you like about the space?
Yeah, definitely. And I think just having a nice community to like talk to local artists as well, which creates a really nice atmosphere.
So Sam, when you were at university, you said about illustration.
Yes,
is that what you said? So,
illustration.
Why did you pick illustration as opposed to fine art or something like that? Was this you already thinking about how am I going to make money?
Yeah, it actually was. I think because I wanted whatever uni degree I picked to give me the skills and the tools to afterwards be able to make a career off it. And illustration, kind of, I would describe it as a course that's, you're about being creative, creating art, but how you make money from that, which sounds very money-minded, but it doesn't need to be like that. It can just be like children's book, advertising.
So it's getting you to think about the ways that you can make money using your creativity as opposed to being entrepreneurial and making money in this way.
Yeah, it's just like, how can you make a livelihood from your passion? I think that's a nicer way of saying it, because it's not like crazy, like money-driven. It's just, how to like, build those tools and things that you're going to do so you can actually like sustain yourself afterwards.
Again, we're back to the terminology here, aren't we? Now, you suddenly said livelihood. I suddenly felt my shoulders relax, and it was like, oh, hang on, we're talking about doing something that you are passionate about, and can you make money from it as opposed to career or, you know, enterprise and stuff like that? Because again, did you ever feel when you were doing that course that there was the pressure there for you to monetize what you were doing, or what was it very much that you were allowed to be creative and be expressive? And is that the reason why you chose this course? Why did you choose it compared to others? I mean, you could have gone closer to home, I'm sure, than Bristol.
Yeah, well, interestingly, actually, I applied to Loughborough, who accepted me, but in my interview, the gentleman said, oh, we'll stop painting cows. And for me, that was an instant no, because I didn't want to be dictated. But yeah, back to your question. The course leaders at UWE Bristol, it wasn't like money, definitely not. It was just definitely all about creativity and expressing yourselves. And I think the idea of how you make money was kind of a little bit of an afterthought, but that's really useful for when you're coming out of uni.
So the person actually said to you about stop painting cows?
Yeah. I was like, nah, instant no.
Wow. I can't believe that. And now I must tell you a horror story. When Tina and I had our Watts space at the High Cross, we did a De Montfort University fine art student exhibition of quite a lot of students. And there was one particular lady, I won't mention her name, particularly talented. And she was really kind of, it was a combination of, you know, a real mashup. I mean, it weren't for everybody, don't get me wrong. It was very colourful, it was very vibrant, lots of red and black. And it was all, you know, and it was informed by, quite clearly, her childhood, domestic violence and things like that. So her thing was this. And it was great. Everyone liked it and stuff like that. And she put up a few pieces. She brought a few pieces in. And then one day she came in absolute floods of tears and just said that she wanted to take it down and we were to skip everything. Because her fine art lecturer just said to her, you're just never going to make money about that unless you kind of, you know, get over your domestic violence type thing. You're never going to make any money. And I remember literally she left in floods of tears and we took it all down and we kept it. And a couple of months later, she came back and said, oh, like, you know, I've been through everything I'd been through. And I said, well, do you want your stuff? And she said, well, I thought you'd thrown it away. I said, why would we do that? And she was delighted. So she still had this body of evidence. And I just say, it's amazing what someone can say to you.
Yeah, definitely.
That instantly makes you judge them. There's no more painting cows. Well, I'm quite good at painting cows. I think, what's wrong with that, you know?
You definitely have to pick which criticism you're going to listen to. And if you don't agree, just disregard them.
Yeah, there you go. Sounds like some word of advice. And that's something that we've found, isn't it, Rob, over the years of, you know, teaching at universities and working with different people. It's amazing how an off-the-cuff, flippant remark like that can literally, you know, it's not what you say sometimes, it's you say it.
It's kind of when you look at it as just a kind of a you're a hand to hire, you know, it's like you're there and you just, but when you've got, if you're an artist, you've got a calling and you're trying to express something which you can, you know, imagine as meaning create an image of, and so you're driven by that. There's the, you know, you can't avoid it, you can't turn away from it. Whereas when you look at everything as a kind of part of the creative industry's process, it's like, well, you know, an illustrator, well, you're paid to do a job for anybody, and that's fine, you know, graphic design, illustration, that kind of stuff. But there's a difference between then art and what you're driven by and what you're motivated by. And each person's got a unique way of presenting that.
So you're listening to John Costa with Rob Watson on Spotlight on Art this week with our special guest, Samantha Pebbedy. So Sam, can you work for money? Can someone come to you and go like, can you do this for me? Or do you have to feel or want to do what someone's asking you to do?
I think it's a mixture of different things, but yeah, no, definitely. Like, I'm quite open to whatever, like, projects and jobs and things. And it's always nice to have a conversation. And even if I'm not enthused about it, I'll definitely know somebody and be able to connect you with another artist. So
that might be best for that person.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Okay, and one of the things I'm really interested in is I've seen you do some green plastic mesh fencing and create stuff with fabrics for a shop that we did at the High Cross that time. I don't know if you remember that. People were writing things on it about like museums and heritage and things they see in the city. And then I've seen you do some like really big pieces with flowers at Adult Ed in the basement and stuff when we've done bits and pieces before. So what kind of materials do you like? Do you prefer walls? Do you prefer like boards? Because you've done a lot of stuff with your flowers. They were all kind of like three-dimensional, wasn't it? And then you were mentioning also that you're thinking of doing stuff with windows and stuff. So how do you decide what to work with, or is it more what's at hand and what you stumble across?
Yeah, definitely. I'm one of those people who likes to explore lots of different things and try different things out. That kind of really motivates me and inspires me, and I find really interesting. At the moment, yeah, because I'm in the early stages of my career, I'm kind of just experimenting with different things to see what I like the most. I think at the core, it's just painting. I love painting with like acrylics and using oil pastels, and whatever I can paint on, I will do.
So that's it, Rob. If you sit there for too long, Rob, we could both get ourselves a bit of a makeover. This could be quite cool. So tell me about why windows? Why in particular are you thinking of doing things in windows? Is it because you see so many of them looking dull and boring, or you think they need a little bit of brightening up? What's the purpose?
Yeah, so when I'm walking just around like high streets, Leicester or in the Midlands, and there's lots of different high streets, they have so much potential, but I think some of them just need a bit of love and care and attention. And another a new kind of like business adventure kind of project that I'm working on at the moment is painting on windows. You can go to Queen's Road, the mine charity shop at the moment. I've got a lovely like painting of flowers.
Is that yours?
At the moment. Yes, that's mine. Did you see it?
I saw that. Oh, yeah. That is yours. That is so cool.
Yeah, I did that last week. Because one thing about our high streets at the moment, people can buy things online, get things sent to their door straight away. So shopping locally and supporting small businesses, it sometimes needs that extra added layer of why people are going out. And I think connecting art and people together and creating a sense of community, and I think that will help people come out and spend money so that these places can thrive and small businesses that are going to help support people's livelihoods. So it's just a big round full circle.
And you had a really cool exhibition, didn't you, up at the Stoughton Farm with the Confident Communities guys, Tina and Rena. Yes. How did that opportunity come about?
Kind of set us up in that speed dating.
Did I?
Yes.
That's from the speed dating thing. I'd forgotten about that. I didn't ask you that question, so you specifically said something nice about me. I'd completely forgotten where you'd met those guys. So it was connecting with people that had space and people that were looking for space. I'd forgotten about that, yeah.
Yeah, no, lovely that you guys, set me up, and we kind of went away from that and had a few discussions. And yeah, I think it was, last summer, I set my installation up in their space and we did a Cyanotype workshop, so any of the families that were walking by got involved, and we were raising awareness and money for their charity.
So where you're at now, 3 years after, three or four years after leaving uni, are you happy where you're at? Did you think you'd be further? Are you shocked about how far you've got, what you've done? When you look back, do you take the time to reflect?
I do reflect. I am quite happy in the sense that I am making an income off my art. I'm really happy with myself for achieving that goal. And that was my main goal, to be fair. And I'm just going to continue to sustain that and make a business for myself.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I'm very interested to find out from you as well about how you talk to young people, you know, like from working with youngsters through to working with, you know, someone who's year nine, who's you, if you like, you know, that's still here. So I'm going to talk to you about that in the next section. Yeah, so Sam, picking up on that, I'm really interested to know, you do a lot of stuff in libraries and stuff, so you'll be working with like younger people, you know, all different backgrounds and interests and stuff like that. And you're kind of the teacher at the front or the person leading the session. If you were to come across someone who was like 14, 15 now at school or thinking about college, now you at year nine, you know what I mean? What kind of advice would you give them?
I would say just carry on enjoying, do what you enjoy and really explore that and be creative with that. And there'll always be a niche on how you can create a career out of that. Just keep following what that you're interested in. Because if you think about it, just like painting cows, that's like a little bit random. But if you think about it, that can go on. You can do commissions for cows, you can create prints, you can create like stationery cards, or you can start advocating for cows, doing advertising for cows. Like you can go crazy in whatever avenue. I would say, yeah.
So you're thinking more about, rather than moving forward, you're thinking about whatever you're interested in, start thinking laterally about what else that you can also do that relates to that, that might
yeah,
be
definitely.
Of interest to people.
And also you might not need to put such a pressure on that so early in your career. Like if you don't need to be making money, you can just explore and enjoy. And then when you get to a point where you need to start making money for your, you know, to support yourself, then you can start thinking in those ways and creating, like you can get joined in the Midlands Makers, doing a stall, or you can...
Because there's a lot going on when people go definitely. Looking for it. It's amazing what you can find. How much of a game changer for you do you think something like social media is? How do you approach social media? Is it like a godsend for you to be able to use that when you look at some of the older artists? If Rob and I had been artists many years ago, you know, we're the wrong side of 35, I'm afraid. you know, pre-internet, pre-mobile phones and all that sort of stuff, you had to... There was almost like a formulaic way that you'd be able to be an artist and get seen, galleries, then, you know, get commissions. Whereas now, actually, you can be your own publicity agent. Do you make a great use of it?
Yeah, I think social media is great. I do have a love and a hate relationship with social media because it is very demanding. And I do think it just creates another very big element for artists, which is amazing to explore. But it's also a lot of pressure and so time consuming. But I would like to say that you don't need to have like a massive following or need to do social media amazingly to make a living off art. Like I only have maybe like 500, 600 followers and I've been able to make a living off my art. I don't create a lot of revenue through my social media, which is something that I'm going to be exploring more. But it's social media isn't the be all and end all.
So you're waiting for the commercialization or monetization of anything you do on social media to kind of naturally find you and be at the right time rather than specifically going after it and having a shop and doing those kind of
definitely.
Things.
I am creating a shop at the moment, which is a bit of a slow process, but I just want it to be an enjoyable process. I don't really want to force people to buy stuff and things.
And how much of your work comes from referrals, you know, from someone seeing something that you've done or having worked with you? You know, Sam's great to work with, you know, some get her involved, right? You know, write a project and bring her in that way. And because for me, whenever I meet anybody that knows you, it's always like, oh yeah, Sam's pretty cool. You know, it's pretty cool to, you know, obviously like our parents who I met, didn't I, in the shop, I remember that day. It's that kind of just enjoying what you do and being a good person to be around, to be creative rather than someone who's always like trying to think of the angle and the commercialization of everything.
Yeah, 100%, definitely. I think a lot of my jobs have come from working with the same charities and companies like the Mighty Creatives, National Civil War Centre, Junction Arts. And I think whenever you're approaching a job, everyone's just people, just be nice and kind at the end of the day and people will want to work with you again.
No, that's fine. That's cool. I was going to say my caveat, if I was you, would just be like, where do you stand on cows? You like, if you like cows, we can be friends. If you don't, then I'm afraid we just can't hang out together. It's fascinating though, isn't it? Because I mean, Rob and I often, we often talk about like working with people and who are we naturally drawn to and who are cool people to hang out. And most of the time, I just find it's people that are authentic. And they're just genuinely interested in something. I mean, we have that quite a bit, don't we, with the podcast and all the events that we do.
Yeah, I mean, a bit of a cheeky phrase comes to mind, which is nobody ever lost any money by underestimating people's taste. And I was just thinking
I thought that's what you were going to do.
But I was just thinking that who's that artist in the kind of the late Victorian period who drew the pictures of cats? And I don't know why it comes to mind, but it's kind of, there is a kind of a focus on things that people actually respond to, which is kind of, you know, there's these constant repeats of these things, like, you know, kind of cat doing funny things or something like that. And I'm not saying that you should in any way entertain that or do that, but it just comes to mind that there is a, people like that kind of stuff. And it's like, you know, and actually there is money to be made at that level.
The everyday,
a good, you know, it's maybe a good banker.
Yeah, you can take that away with you, Sam. You can have that one for free.
Thank you.
So, Sam, in the final section, I want to talk about year nine, Sam.
Year nine.
Yeah. Sam. Your art teacher. You know what I mean? What was cool or inspirational about your art teacher that just gave you permission to be who you wanted to be, rather than someone that was driven by the vagaries of the curriculum and you've got to achieve this kind of stuff?
I think someone just being as energetic as I am, just like interested in my art, I think. And just like whenever I was asking loads of questions, that they were really engaged and interested as well. I think the main thing, yeah, was just being interested. I actually had a little bit off topic, but like a little boy yesterday, I was running a workshop. And I think the importance is just listening, because he came up to me and he said that, this is like the biggest compliment, he was like, you're really nice. Everything that you do is just so kind. And all I'd done was just listening to him about his Lego creation. And I think that's one of the most important things, is just like showing as much enthusiasm and passion in whatever the young person is doing.
That's a really interesting statement, isn't it? Because you can so easily crush a child's dream or interest in something by turning around and going like, oh, that's not art, or, you know, is art photography and all this kind of stuff. And it's been interesting talking to the guys from Bring the Paint, actually, Izzy and Sean and Noosh, about the next festival, which will be 12 months from May 2026 to May 2027. We're talking about things like, if we're going to be doing about street art or, you know, graffiti, we also need to be thinking about cartoons. We also need to be thinking about graphic novels and, you know, how we get young boys in particularly interested in things that are creative, because it's so easy to, once it's uncool to be creative at secondary school, you can lose young men when it comes to those kind of things. It's how do we keep that going? So pick this kid then with his Lego. You know, why was it that you were listening to him? Is it the fact that he was enthusiastic and he was talking something that he was interested in?
Yeah, I think he was just like interested. Yesterday I was doing Lego print workshop, just for context. But yeah, no, he was just explaining his like Lego creation, and I was just enjoying him telling me about what
he'd created. So tell me, what's a Lego print workshop then?
It's actually the first time I've ever done this workshop, but basically you get one of those like Lego sheets. I'm not going to explain this very well because I'm done Lego.
Is that what you put your Lego onto?
Yeah, okay, and then just like create a bit of a design with the Lego. So yesterday I was creating like a butterfly with them. It's very kind of like retro vibe, and it's very linear, obviously. Make sure all of the Lego is the same level, and then you just roll the ink on it and use it as a stamp, and it creates some really cool designs.
I'm going to start using that. Hi, I'm John Costa. I've got this real kind of linear retro vibe. It's kind of a great one. Speak to Sam and find your next catchphrase for your social media campaign. So, I mean, what do you do to relax? My final question to you, what do you do to unwind? Or is there no difference between the Sam that we see and people will see at a workshop and the Sam behind closed doors, if you like?
I would say kind of just like immersing myself in art or like literature. I really love to read, and then also just, you know, like going on walks and listening to music. One thing that I really love doing is like going on a bike ride and listening to music. I feel like that helps like to lose yourself in the moment.
And do you watch art documentaries? Do you listen to art podcasts? Do you read art magazines? Or do you just find that you just consume anything and everything that's lying around and just take from it what you need?
That, but also...
I thought you were going to say that's a good question, yeah, but there we go.
Yeah,
move on.
No, that's really interesting. One thing actually that I do love is I do love to laugh. So I love a comedy podcast. I'm always listening to a comedy podcast. Whatever I'm doing, like long drives or doing artwork and walking and things.
And tell us the rest of the week. What's the rest of the week look like in Sam's creative world?
In Sam's creative world... my mind just gone blank because I'm actually going on a girls trip with my friends. But
don't talk about that. Talk about when you come back from the girls trip and you recovered. What kind of things have you got coming up in the future?
Yeah, some things that I've got coming up is a really exciting exhibition with you guys, and also I'm going to keep developing on my shop. But also one thing that I'm going to be doing is I'm reaching out to loads of different companies to do window paintings. So if you're interested, make sure to contact me.
Brilliant. Get in touch with Rob or I here at the Saw Sound on the Spotlight on Art podcast, and we'll put you in touch with Sam. If you've got a window or any kind of window, indoor, outdoor, high
any
street.
Any window.
Windows full stop. There we go. Fantastic. Sam, thanks for taking the time to speak to Rob and I.
Thank you.